Hisham Idy's new book is a sort of musical tour around the world. It's called Rebel Music, Race, Empire, and the New Muslim Youth Culture. From hip-hop in Brazilian favelas to Pakistani punk rock to Nawa reggae in North Africa, it's a look at young urban Muslims and the music they make and listen to.
Voilà la vérité. FF en déplacement, même le couvre-feu décrété. Mon équipe fait la différence face aux couillons et crétins. Si je rappe, c'est pas grâce au président français. Texte, et elle est cruelle, profondément pensée. Le mouvement devient grand comme l'océan, pour néant. Trop de MC suppléants, flippés enfin finissent fainéants.
That's a band from France called Troisième Oeil. Hisham Idy met them at a music festival in the Bronx, which he says is the birthplace of hip-hop.
They came out there to meet with Africa Bambaataa and Grandmaster Flash, and they were very, you know, very choked up and moved to be there, and they said this is the Mecca of hip-hop and so on. And just in talking to them, I began thinking about how youth, Muslim youth, minority youth in Europe, tend to look up to the United States, to romanticize the United States and the civil rights movement, and then the role of the U.S. government and selling the American dream in the European urban periphery.
And I want to talk about that second piece in a few minutes. But first, could you take a big step back and talk a little bit about the historical connection between American hip-hop and Islam? Because there is one.
Right. What I argue is that the richest cross-fertilization that you have between American music and Islam is in hip-hop. And that begins in the early 70s. With the group Africa Bambaataa, which they emerged in 1973, they formed the Zulu Nation to combat street violence, and they begin to draw on Nation of Islam teachings. And then in the early 80s, you begin to get references to Malcolm X. And eventually, these references make their way into some hip-hop classics, the works of Rakim and Public Enemy and so on.
Let's hear a little bit of that early hip-hop with some Islamic allusions. This is from the group Poor Righteous Teachers, and the song is called Rock This Funky Joint.
Like I said, stand for this why, civilized, dip, hip, hot rhyme, from a black mind, to kicking it to you all the time, I salam, you like a more a peace sign, represents my way of life, and this be that of Islam, I'll take my time, think before I manifest a rhyme, sharp and accurate, to stop the music on a dime, knowledge me acapella, wisdom G, I'm manifesting, understand.
So that came out in the United States in 1990, it does kind of sound like it, throwback, but you say it's popular with European youth now, right?
Yes, yeah, so European youth, South American youth, I'm often asked when doing this research, I'm asked about early 90s hip-hop, right? So the golden age hip-hop, the hip-hop that was Afrocentric and political. And that is the hip-hop that is inspiring the political movements that I talk about.
One of the things you discuss is the idea of using this kind of music as a diplomatic tool. The U.S. State Department apparently has a program using this music, started under the Bush administration, sending so-called hip-hop envoys around the world to countries with Muslim populations. What's the aim? What are the objectives?
Well, it's not just the U.S. I mean, a number of governments, France, Germany, Britain, are trying to shape Muslim opinion to combat poor perceptions, and they have honed in on hip-hop because of the relationship between Islam and hip-hop. If you look at the research on interrogation, for example, in Afghanistan and Iraq, hip-hop is rarely mentioned, right? It's often heavy metal, hard rock tracks that are used to break down detainees. Hip-hop is used more for cultural persuasion. So if you look at some of the State Department planners and what they've written about, they tend to say we see hip-hop as a natural connector. This program is actually modeled on the jazz diplomacy of the early Cold War era. And back then, it was argued that jazz can be useful to counter Soviet propaganda and to win over peoples of the developing world because jazz represents the diversity of America. Jazz represents the inclusiveness of America and of American democracy.
Let's hear an example of this. This is by a group called The Reminders, a band who's been on one of these diplomatic music tours.
Was all so simple, even though pops was not around and mama had to struggle. Surviving in the ghetto, we hustled, that's universal. Like an international plague, I hit us in the middle of the body. My community's been torn apart. I was told if you want to change, you gotta start with the heart. Then you
what does the diplomacy look like beyond concerts that are given?
The music is a very small part of a much larger package. So if you look at the cultural diplomacy towards Europe, for instance, there are workshops and conferences and so on American style affirmative action, on American multiculturalism. There's a showcasing of American minority communities, particularly American Muslims, to show that whatever U.S. policy may be, American Muslims are affluent and integrated and so forth.
There's a certain irony, though, in particular in the American case, but I imagine it with other Western governments, if they're using hip-hop, American hip-hop, to kind of encourage change or pro-Western views in some Muslim countries. This is music, though, that was born out of political and social protest against the government.
Right, exactly. The music that domestically is blamed for all kinds of problems, misogyny, consumerism, materialism, academic underachievement, overseas is deployed to make the country safer and better liked. So this has led to a debate in Europe, again, mostly Europe, not in the United States, because people in the U.S. are not really aware of these programs. But in Europe, it has led to a debate over what is the purpose of this music, what is the purpose of hip-hop? Is it protest? Is it policy? Or is it a soundtrack to American power?
And what do you think, after having spent some time thinking about this and interviewing people? What's the takeaway from this?
I think, you know, soft power works, cultural diplomacy works when it aligns well with hard power. So in Europe, for instance, you know, these programs, if the French government is cracking down on, you know, rappers considered to be too hard left and the U.S. embassy reaches out to these rappers, these groups tend to be sympathetic and, you know, and grateful. But if we're talking about Bahrain or the Middle East, where you have the American-backed tyrannies and the U.S. is trying to send in artists to distract from certain policies or to alter public opinion, it does not work.
Hisham Aidi, he teaches at Columbia School of International and Public Affairs. His new book is called Rebel Music. He joined us from our studios in New York. Thanks so much for talking with us, Hisham.
Thank you, Rachel.